Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning on the radio at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Today we're going to air part two of our conversation with Scott Enright, who is head of the State Department of Agriculture and chair of the Agriculture Board. We aired part one of our talk story with Scott Enright 2 weeks ago, talking about some of the priorities for the State Department of Agriculture, what Governor David Ige has in mind, which is doubling vegetable and fruit production. We talked about the use of water and the availability of water throughout the state. That was interesting. And we started a discussion about invasive species. Today, we continue talking about invasive species. We also talk about some of the studies the State Department of Agriculture has commissioned to help improve agriculture production in the state, which requires understanding what the production is now, something we don't really know. We're going to talk about growing new farmers. We're going to talk about budget. To hear part one of our talk story with Scott Enright or any previous Island Issues podcasts, go online, lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. That includes last Sunday's talk story with Fire Chief Darren Rosario, and a reminder that we all need to be on the lookout for any people doing anything suspicious in dry, brushy areas, because there is an arsonist on the loose on our island. Call police if you see somebody. Now let's get to our conversation with Scott Enright, continuing the talk about invasive species. Coffee berry borer is an invasive pest that we have here on this island.
Yes, it is.
So what's the latest with that?
We've had a series of funding mechanisms to help the coffee farmers as we determine the best way to control coffee berry borer. Coffee berry borer is found every place in the world that we have coffee. And we were fortunate enough to not have the pest until quite recently. So we're developing the protocols. Contracts have gone out from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture to the University of Hawaii at Manoa and to other institutions around the world to do basic research on coffee berry borer. And we'll continue to come up with the biocontrols. Coffee farmers that are implementing the practices that are recommended have gotten the damage down below 10% and closer to 5% where they're really applying the practices. So that's what we're encouraging coffee farmers to do.
Albizia. That's an invasive tree. And, of course, we on Hawaii Island saw how destructive it could be and, in fact, was during Azel. Is that something you consider part of your kuleana?
It is. Albizia trees are the law of unintended consequences played out, introduced by the territorial foresters years ago to help with watershed reforestation, not understanding the effect that it could have. It's a nitrogen-fixing tree, so it grows rather quickly and seeds prolifically. And it has become a problem in many places around the state, not just Hawaii Island. We're currently at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture looking at biocontrols to rein it in. And we're also looking at pesticides that can get used to curtail its growth.
I know that a lot of folks in the Pahoa area, Puna area, have used millstone, which one of my friends over there who's used it says she uses it on her albizia trees and they just gradually sort of wither and die. So she's been very happy with that.
It's been amazingly effective herbicide and it works well with albizia. But yes, especially if you have a full-grown albizia tree, then you have a dead albizia tree and the limbs start coming apart, which can be quite dangerous. But it is effective and certainly effective on the younger trees.
Green waste on Hawaii Island is not the kuleana of the State Department of Agriculture, but clearly a lot of the pests that we've talked about can spread via green waste, I believe little fire ants being one. Do you get involved at all with the individual counties on how they manage that particular topic, and including Hawaii Island? Have you talked with our folks about how we manage green waste to prevent the spread of little fire ants and other species?
Well, before I took this particular position in state government and was here on the Big Island, yes, I worked at the Environmental Management Commission, and we took that very seriously. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture, through its ant lab, interfaces with the county on moving green waste and trying to control invasive species, specifically little fire ant, from moving around the island.
Another kind of invasive species, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, not them, they're not the invasive species. They're saying they really want to focus now on getting rid of or at least reducing the population of rats and mongooses, and they've come up with a particular pesticide. They say their work isn't nearly complete. To what extent are they working with State Department of Agriculture? They're a federal agency, but is this a joint project, or is this Fish and Wildlife just deciding that they need to get rid of rats and mongooses, which they say have a very negative effect, we know, on birds, but also they say on native plants?
Yes, that's been understood for some time, Sherry. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture works with our federal partners on registering the pesticides that they want to use. Very often these pesticides, the application is not on the label. The EPA comes up with a label for every pesticide and exactly how it's supposed to be used and what it can be used on. And to the extent that there's a variation, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture has to put out what's called an experimental pesticide use. And we work with our federal partners to secure those so they can do the work that they're attempting to do.
In general, how would you characterize the relationship between federal agencies such as Fish and Wildlife, agencies that clearly overlap with State Department of Agriculture?
I've found them to be excellent working relationships. We're a very small state, and we have a very tight congressional delegation, and that's part of the key, because these different federal agencies are directed by political appointees. So they're very receptive to phone calls and letters from our congressional delegation. I think that's part of it. I've been very pleased with the partnership we have with all of our different federal agencies here in Hawaii.
Even if you don't, I appreciate your diplomacy in being able to say that. But thank you for that, because obviously that's really very important for you to have a close working relationship, and hopefully for them to feel the same way, to have a close working relationship with the state, not just be imposing. A Waimea resident sent in a question, which is, quote, "The state never seems to take invasive species seriously until they hit Oahu. For example, koki frogs, little fire ants." And I'd have to say, Scott, most folks here think that if there had been aggressive action against koki frogs when they first appeared here on Hawaii Island, we might not have the problem that we have today, where they're very much out of control on our island. And maybe you, being from Hawaii Island, have felt this yourself. But now you're director of State Department of Agriculture. So to what degree does the state intend to start taking invasive species more seriously when they first appear on Hawaii Island? Because that's an issue.
It's a point well made, Sherry. I would make the case that if koki frogs were to appear today, we would eradicate them, because we've built in, with our Hawaii Invasive Species Council and with the level of awareness that we have developed, not sufficient, but it's much better than it was when kokis first appeared, we would eradicate and it wouldn't be a problem. So we've made improvements, but there's a lot of work left to be done. And yes, it does appear that if something's moving towards Oahu or Maui, it gets a lot more attention than when it first shows up here on Hawaii Island. But again, the awareness of invasive species was in its infancy, I would make that case, when both koki frogs and little red fire ant first appeared. Little red fire ant, from the research I've read, by the time it was identified by the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, it had become so widespread that they felt it couldn't be eradicated. And nobody really understood the negative effects that having that invasive species being uncontrollable on the island would have.
I'm sure, Scott, that losing inspectors, which the State Department of Agriculture did in the 2005-07 timeframe, that probably did not help with the invasive species issues.
No, it certainly didn't. It slowed things down. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture lost 40% of its workforce, more than any department in the state. And so it slowed the department down on moving forward on many issues, and invasive species was certainly one.
I didn't realize that State Department of Ag was so heavily impacted in the budget cuts that happened around the 2007 timeframe. That is amazing, particularly because The Department of Agriculture is one of the oldest departments. There was one under the territorial kingdom, and agriculture is such a key part of our life here in our economy.
You know, the case that I'd make, Sherry, is that agriculture has become so successful that it's now taken for granted, whereas only 1% of the population in the country is now involved in agriculture. So it's not something that people know firsthand, whereas they one time did. Additionally, everyone shows up in a well-lit supermarket 24/7 and finds an amazing bounty of food there always. So it is the case that people take that for granted. So if it's there, we don't really have to pay attention to what puts it there. And I think that's what led to something like taking 40% of the workforce away from the Department of Agriculture. There's a loss of appreciation of how integral agriculture is to the state and the people of the state.
Well, you know, one of the things that I asked Jeff Melrose when we talked about the state study on agriculture land use was, can the state actually produce enough food for the people in the state, and is that desirable? And he said he thinks the problem is not a production problem, but a consumption problem, because I am used to going to the grocery store any time, day or night, and getting products any season that I want any season.
That's exactly right. Jeff and I have had this conversation many times, and often when we're discussing food sustainability issues, when that dialogue is happening, someone will mention that in pre-contact Hawaii, there were over 1 million people living in the state and they were food self-sufficient. But what Jeff or I might point out is that the diet, how restrictive that diet was for that particular time. You were eating ulu whenever ulu was in season, or guava whenever guava was in season, and a lot of taro and a lot of fish. Today's consumer has consumer preferences. And to the extent that those preferences hold, no, we'll never be able to be like 100% food self-sufficient. So if the proverbial boat stopped, you know, how would we feed ourselves? A very limited diet. But we can do a much better job of producing fruits and vegetables and livestock products here in the state. And we'll do that. But we'll define food self-sufficiency different.
Well, it's one thing also when you look at local people living here, where we may be okay with eating a lot of breadfruit for a while. But our biggest part of the economy is tourism, and I don't think the tourists would go for that kind of food menu.
That's exactly right. To the extent we're going to be entertaining 7 or 8 million visitors a year, supplying them with the food preferences they have as they come to vacation, no, we're not going to be able to do that.
I want to finish up invasive species with something that you may or may not consider an invasive species, but that is the mosquito. And as everybody knows, we have dengue fever here on this island, and eradicating mosquitoes is huge, not just for today for dengue fever, but for the future for Zika. And everything we read indicates that eradicating mosquitoes is important. So first, to what extent has Department of Agriculture been involved in the fight against the mosquitoes to this point? And if there is a role going forward, tell us what it is.
Well, first of all, yes, we do consider it an invasive species.
Okay.
What the role that we're currently playing is, we're supplying the entomologist. The Hawaii Department of Health no longer had entomologists on their staff and needed them.
And entomologists are bug experts?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we've allowed our positions to be used to support the Department of Health. And additionally, we have a section of our plant control division that has equipment that can be used for eradication. And we've lent that equipment to the Department of Health and manpower to help eradicate mosquitoes.
So on the topic of entomologists, are you planning on adding additional entomologists to help with this specific issue, which is certainly of concern for the future?
We are. We've filled one position and are in the process of filling a second.
And is this entomologist here on Hawaii Island or on Oahu? And what's the future on that?
They're going to be Big Island based, and I believe they'll be here going forward, but I can't speak for my friends at the Department of Health.
Okay, so really it's your entomologist, but you're putting them under the control of Department of Health.
Correct.
Okay, well, good. Well, because we'd like to get rid of these mosquitoes. I never was that bothered by mosquitoes, but reading all this about Zika and the future, it is pretty daunting.
It certainly is, and everyone should be paying attention to this issue. I would hope that they are and will going forward. And the Hawaii Department of Agriculture works closely with the Hawaii Department of Health and will continue to do that on this issue.
Okay, off invasive species, at least for now. And before we move to our next topic, let me remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. Our conversation today is with Scott Enright, Chair of the Hawaii State Department of Agriculture, and it's part two of a two-part conversation. You may hear part one, another podcast from previous Island Issues interviews at Lava 105.3.com and at koacountry1077.com. My scheduled guest for next Sunday is Mayor Billy Kanoi. Now let's get back to Scott Enright. If we want people to be growing crops, we have to have the people to do it. So talk about how you, as Department of Agriculture, approach increasing our capacity, creating farmers where there are not farmers, that whole topic.
The mean age for farmers, for agriculturalists in the state is 60. And this is true nationwide. We're not unique. And so it's that next generation of farmers that we're cultivating now. The challenge here in Hawaii is the cost of doing business. So if you have a 20-something farmer, and I talk to them every day, that is looking to start up a farming enterprise, along with coming up with a viable business plan, you know, their marketing plan and how they're going to move forward, it's how are they going to capitalize that startup? And as I mentioned earlier when we were talking about our agricultural loan program, most financial institutions are not lending, and they're especially not lending to high-risk startup Aggies. You know, most financial institutions often lend to those that can afford to borrow the money.
Of course.
And agriculture being a risky business to begin with, and then having an individual who has no track record to point to, it falls to the state to help capitalize that program. That's a message I've been carrying through state government the entire time I've been at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture. And I currently have an ask in for $4 million for this year for Ag Loan Program and $4 million for the next 3 years going forward. So that will put another third more into our portfolio at agricultural loan and give us the ability to help these startup agriculturalists get into business, because there are many people that are coming forward that seem willing to do it. They're not sure how they can capitalize, and we're going to need to be there to help them.
So, Scott, if the State Department of Agriculture makes a loan to this person, it is a loan. They have to pay it back with interest?
That is correct. Currently, we're at 3.2, so we have a very low interest rate. And we also work with our farming community so that we know if there's, say, a drought like we're experiencing here on the Kona side of the Big Island, and their production numbers are down. We understand that and willing to work with them and rewrite the loan so it works. They continue in business. The state gets the agriculture they're looking for. And as they're successful, we get a return on our investment.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because I can't see a bank having any understanding whatsoever as to, well, in Kona there's a drought, yet in Hilo there's not a drought. So what's wrong with you, Kona farmers? So that's great. That's a good program. I'm also impressed you said there are plenty of people who want to be farmers. I wasn't under that impression.
I will have to define plenty.
Okay.
There are individuals that come through the door on a regular basis to talk to us. Now, and this is, again, a conversation that Jeff Melrose and I have in planning for agriculture going forward. Many are looking for smaller 5, 10, and 20-acre plots. And to really move the needle on agricultural production, I'm looking for the individuals that want to capitalize at 100 acres and 200 acres. that really starts to move the needle in terms of agricultural production. But to the extent that we start off with these farmers that are doing 5 and 10 and 20 acres and they're successful, we can grow that. One of the most successful farmers in the state is a gentleman by the name of Larry Jeffs. He started growing watermelon on Molokai and was doing it on like a 20-acre plot. And he has several thousand acres in production. Now he produces 1 million pounds of produce that all gets eaten in the state every week. That's 1 million pounds a week. He grew on success, and we're hoping that with the other startup agriculturalists, we can help them grow on, based on success.
Speaking of Jeff Melrose, one of the things he mentioned to me is a lot of the aspiring farmers are immigrants, people who have come into our state who may not be as familiar with our business practices and may in fact have a language barrier. To what extent is your team looking for those folks too to help nurture them and bring them along?
I sit on the board of the Agribusiness Development Corporation. It's attached agency to the department. It's actually our development arm for the Hawaii Department of Agriculture. And we're currently developing 1,200 acres in central Oahu, what's called the old Gabbreth Estates in Waihewa, and continuing to buy more dole lands around it. So we've cleared 200 acres for small startup ag, 5, 10, 20 acre pieces that predominantly are Southeast Asian farmers. And we're put together a group of classes on marketing and on food safety and on pesticide use. And so we've identified, as Jeff has recognizes, this immigrant group as one of the next waves of immigrants that is going to assist agriculture going forward. You know, the history of this state is groups of immigrants that have come to work in agriculture. That's how we got the ethnic diversity that we enjoy today. And this is one of the next migrations, along with Caucasians from the mainland. So we have these different groups, but we've identified that group. We're working with them. And we're also developing pesticide education tools for this group. So whereas they don't really understand English, it's a second language, we're developing reading the label in each of the different languages and pictorials as to what vegetables they can use a label with. And so we're developing education programs for basically for food safety for this group so that they can flourish doing agriculture in the state.
Well, and you speak of food safety. I know that the federal government has imposed or and is imposing a lot of new regulations relative to food safety, which the farmers will have to comply with.
That's exactly right. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has taken up food safety laws and rules for the first time since the 1930s. It's the Food Safety Modernization Act, or FSMA, a group of 8 rules that have been coming out over the last year. And the produce rule is the one that will have the greatest effect on the agricultural community in the state. And it calls out many things, the microbial count in the irrigation water that you're using, the fencing to keep feral and domestic animals out. It also calls for post-harvest facilities. So whereas many of our farmers have packing sheds that they've been utilizing, FSMA calls out a closed wall with washed down interior and ceilings as what's necessary for post-harvest. So currently, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture is coming up with models for what we call food hubs, which will be post-harvest facilities that can be shared by agriculturalists in different regions where we find a predominance of agriculture. You know, the work that you mentioned earlier, Jeff Melrose's study, shows us that agriculture is clustered around the state. There are regions where we'll be looking to capitalize post-harvest facilities that agriculturalists can share and use, because for the most part, our small ag, which is 95% of the ag in the state, can't afford to capitalize these post-harvest facilities. We're doing a model currently with the Galbraith Estates with the Agribusiness Development Corporation, coming up with a model that can be utilized elsewhere in the state.
You know, when you mentioned going from a packing shed to an enclosed food hub, then I think about packing shed may have great ventilation because everything we have here is open to the wind. So then you get into air conditioning. You get into a whole lot of additional cost with that kind of requirement, which, of course, is to be expected with federal government requirements, yeah?
That's exactly right. And the chill box that will be necessary to go with that food hub. So that cold chain from the field into the packing house and then into the chill. And yes, it will be costly. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture and the governor recognize this, and we've been moving forward with developing models and with capitalization models on how we would work with public-private partnerships to develop these necessary facilities.
One of the issues with which State Department of Health has not really dealt, I'd say, is the issue of rat lungworm disease, which is although they call it an infectious disease, I think it's a foodborne illness that you acquire after slugs crawl on your lettuce if your lettuce is not properly washed. Is that an issue with which Department of Agriculture is getting involved?
Yes. I've been working with individuals from the University of Hawaii College of Pharmacy that have been working on this.
Dr. Susan Jarvie is fabulous, isn't she?
Susan Jarvie is the bomb.
And she is.
And working to get her additional funding for her research. That would be work that the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority would take up also. But in the interim, I'm attempting to get her funding so she can move her research forward. You know, that's an invasive snail that's carrying that disease. So we're back with our invasive species and controlling that. But yes, that will be work that affects agriculture and is an invasive species. So yes, it's work that we'll be doing at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
So after I told you I wouldn't ask you about invasive species, I came up with yet another one that's here on Hawaii Island.
It's not hard. Invasive species are a huge issue.
Scott, when you talk about developing the capability of farmers, I've talked to some farmers who tell me that technology is a key part of what they need to understand these days, from computer programs which help them track things to using drones to be able to survey their fields and see if there's a problem and see if there's enough water, et cetera. Talk about your department's engagement in technology with new farmers or with old farmers.
The technology that's available for agriculture is amazing, as all technology has become. Being a small Department of Agriculture, we don't have that capability currently built in. But we at the Hawaii Department of Agriculture are part of NASDA, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. And that's an organization that represents all 50 states in the country. The work that they're currently doing and the work of other large states, say California, we get to leverage that as being part of NASDA. So we're constantly looking at available technologies, and we get to, again, use the technologies that they've made available. So with consumer software for tracking things like food safety and developing the apps, this is already done by other members of NASDA, and so we don't need to do that. We can use the technology that they developed in this software. And the work that's being done by drones, which is amazing technology. You can fly over your orchard if it's mac nuts, if it's coffee, and you can see if there's a dry spot or a spot that is nutrient deficient. Something you can't necessarily see by walking past it. From the air, you can see that. So it allows agriculture to really flourish, and this technology, we move forward with the other states, leveraging their successes and making that available to our farmers.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Scott Enright, how many people in the State Department of Agriculture?
264.
What's your budget?
$49 million.
Is that enough?
That's 0.4% of the state budget.
0.4% of the state budget. Doesn't sound like enough.
Not 1%, not half of 1%, but 0.4. It's not sufficient to do all of the work that's expected of the department going forward. And so we'll work with the governor, who is assisting us to move forward, and with both the Senate and the House of Representatives to get additional funding over the years to do the many things that the Hawaii Department of Agriculture is asked to do.
I have not looked at the state budget. Did the governor put more money into the budget this year for State Department of Ag?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask how the legislature was responding, but there's nothing to respond to. Why didn't he put more money in if he wants you to do all these things?
It's a tough fiscal year. We're looking in the next budget cycle to see what we can get done. But with issues like unfunded mandates that need to be addressed for the fiscal well-being of the state, it was deemed not the time to go forward. But we'll be working on it in the next budget cycle.
Scott Enright, I have asked you a lot of questions, but I haven't really given you an opportunity to talk about anything additional that you might want to share with our listeners.
The work that's done by the Hawaii Department of Agriculture is integral to the well-being of the state. In many ways, we touched on invasive species, but the work that we do with our animal industry and animal diseases is amazing work. The work that we do on biocontrol and biosecurity is amazing work. And so even though most people go through your day without thinking of agriculture, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture, that department in your state government is doing amazing work and has an amazing group of people doing it. And so just wanted you to know that and know we're there looking out for your well-being.
That's very nice. Are there any other particular initiatives you want to discuss before we say aloha?
I think we'll say aloha.
Well, I'll say aloha, but I also want to thank you, Scott Enright, because I so appreciate your willingness to come talk to us about what your department does to help us have a better understanding and also get a sense of what needs to be done, because there are undoubtedly ways we can help, particularly hearing about invasive species, because we can't just wait for you to come in and fix our problem.
Would love to come back. Whenever you can have me back, Sherry, I'll be back to talk agriculture with your listeners.
Thank you so much, Scott Enright, Chair of Department of Agriculture and Chair of the Board of Agriculture. Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. I particularly appreciate Scott Enright from Department of Agriculture being here because he's very open and not everybody in the state is. I'm Sherry Bracken. This is Island Issues. See you next Sunday morning. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoiho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.